Thailand. We bumped into each other in Thailand and probably somewhere else along the way too, and I've gotten over to Orlando to Tom gave me a tour of the Campus Crusade, the crew facility, and the Jesus Film Project. Very interesting. So Paul and I are also grew up here in Norway, and we consider the Community Bible Chapel very instrumental in our formation and really guiding us toward a call in missions. And I wouldn't be the same person I am today if it wasn't the ministry of the Community Bible Chapel and the youth ministry when I was in high school. It changed my life. And, I can't do anything but praise God for the opportunities that he gave me in high school. And despite the fact that I often wandered away while I was in high school, God kept calling me back. And it was really through the ministry of the youth group here and the youth that invested in my life. And I give praise to God for that and for the Community Bible Chapel. So Paul and I have served with Wycliffe for 27 years. And most of you guys know our story, that we have four sons, and we raised them in the jungles of Peru for about 8 years, and then later we were in the capital city of Lima for 8 years. And then 2007, I took the job I have now as the regional director for all of our field work in the Western Hemisphere. And so I travel north and south a lot, down into South America and different places, and sometimes as far north as Michigan. And I was actually in Seattle just a few weeks ago for our field conference for all of our work in North America. And it just never ceases to amaze me, the places I get to go and the people I get to meet and the things I get to see, that we have people that are investing in translating God's word in languages that none of you have ever heard of, and most people probably never heard of these people groups, and yet God cares about them and has called somebody that has gone there and is translating God's word for them. Just a few weeks ago, when I was in Seattle, I met again and talked with a couple that's quite, boy, they're about 80 now, the Shinans. And the Shinans are working to translate the Yupik language, the New Testament, to the Yupik language. And the Yupik area, the primary homeland is on St. Lawrence Island. Anybody? It's an island that's out in the Bering Strait, about halfway between Russia and Alaska. And there's some of the Yupiks are on the Alaskan mainland, and there's a whole bunch of them that are actually on the Russian mainland. And so they're just putting the final touches on that translation, should be out in the next year or so. Had you ever heard of them? Did you know that was happening? You know, there's about 3,000 Yupik that are on the islands and on the Alaska side, and then there's actually a larger majority of them over in Russia. And they're going to print this New Testament with the Roman alphabet that we know, but also in the Cyrillic alphabet that the Russians know, so that they can all read God's word in their language. Well, that's just one example. So we count ourselves a privilege to be a part of that. Can we bring up the first slides here? I got to start going here in a minute. We count it a privilege to be a part of that work and ministry. And Paul and I, as I said, we got our four boys. We raised them in the jungle. And those were fun years living in the jungle. The Lord really blessed us with that opportunity. A lot of people thought it was hard to live in the jungle. It was like the UP, but a little warmer. Mosquitoes, just as many mosquitoes, gnats, you know, kind of a lot of camping type feeling, but we loved those years. Then we lived in the capital city of Lima, always kept our allegiance to the Packers, and then here's our tribe most recently. And now we have daughters-in-laws, and most importantly, of course, we have grandchildren. I don't know what my boys are doing anymore, but I can tell you what my grandchildren are doing. The Lord's really blessed us in that way. We thank him for that. One of the things that's coming up for me, is I mentioned this a little bit this summer, starting in May, I'm going to have a new job, and I'm going to be working with our new executive director. Our executive director is going to change in May, and he's asked me to be a part of his global leadership team. So my job is going to change in May, and I don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet. I know what I'm going to be basically taking my boss's role, but things are going to be changing a little bit as well. Might mean new job, new relationships with staff and partners, and of course then managing this new sort of job stress and that sort of thing. So I'd ask you to pray for us as we figure out how that's going to work. At this point, it looks like we're going to stay in Dallas, at least initially. We're not going to move. But my predecessor lived in Singapore. So we'll see where the Lord might have us move in the future because of that job. Well, when I was here in July, one of the things I shared with you was that in a few weeks after we left here, I was going to be in Peru, and I was going to go out to this isolated tribal village where the Kulina Madija people live. And this is a place I used to fly to years ago when I was in as a pilot. And so it's exciting to go back there. So on July 22nd, I went to the village. Oh, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself in my notes. While as I was preparing and getting ready to go to the Kulina celebration, I was reminded of this verse in Psalm 67, verse 3 to 5. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. And so our theme during this conference is be exalted among the nations. And in July, I got to see one people, one nation, exalting God because they were receiving God's word in their language. That was really cool to see. That was a lot of fun to be there for that. So we went out to this Kulina village of San Bernardo. There's about 4,000 Kulina in the whole world, but there's only about 400 of them that live in Brazil. All the rest live across the border, or live in Peru. All the rest live across the border in Brazil. But the translation was done on the Peru side of the border because we had better access to that side. It was a little bit more difficult to get into that part of Brazil. So there's about 400 in Peru, there's about 4,000 total. And this project took a long time. This was one of it might be the record as far as length of a translation project. But the first Wycliffe missionaries went to the Kulina to live and work there 61 years ago, 1954 is when the work was started. And it was really just a few years before that the Kulina people started gathering together in villages. Before that time, they were a nomadic people. They just roamed in the jungle from place to place, the different places that they knew where they could find food. They were hunter-gatherer type people. But they were starting to settle into villages along the river. It was just after that the first SIL Wycliffe missionaries arrived there and started working in this village, San Bernardo. I'm sure it looked very different back in those days. These first two single missionaries that went and lived and worked there and started the translation project. Now, this is a people group that until that time, their language had never been written. There wasn't a way to write their language. Nobody in that tribal group even knew it was possible to write their language or could read and write. That was the situation when the first translators arrived in 1954. So the early work was a lot about education. Well, after a number of years, those dear missionary ladies who poured their lives out in the jungle, they started the translation process. They got quite a ways along in not just translation, but also developing an educational material, teaching people to read and write. And they actually, eventually what happened was they timed out. Both of these women were getting into their 60s, and they started having health issues. They couldn't be in the villages, and eventually both of them retired and went back to the U.S. And as they were retiring, another young couple came, Jim and Cindy Boyer, Cindy started in about 1988. Jim came a couple years later. They got married. She was home, and they got married. Cindy brought her new husband out to the jungle, and they continued the project, and they were have been in the project about 25 years. And this is Jim, very proud of the fact that the New Testaments had been shipped to Peru. They arrived out in the jungle, and here they are all stacked up neatly in his house, ready to go out to the Kulina village. His wife, Cindy, is also their husband and wife team, and both of them actually work in translation. Sometimes one of the couple might work more in education or literacy or scripture engagement, scripture use kind of activities, but both of them worked on the translation. And of course, they worked alongside quite a few Kulina colleagues that over the years, a whole generation of young men and women grew up that understood how to read and write. The translation process picks up a lot quicker when you have more educated people. So they worked alongside this group of men that also helped with the translation process. They were co-translators in this process. And what I'd like to do now is have you hear the story of the Kulina New Testament translation as told by Jim Boyer. He put together this video. I I downloaded it off YouTube, is where I got it. He said, oh, it's on YouTube, you can go get it. So I went and got it off YouTube. So here's the Kulina New Testament dedication.
The Kulina Mandinka people who live on the Purus River in Peru and Brazil have had portions of the Word of God in their language for many years. There are believers, pastors, and churches that God has raised up in villages all along the river. Finally, in 2014, the complete New Testament in their language was finished, and a joyful celebration was held on July 22, 2015, to present it to the people. It took place in the Peruvian village of San Bernardo, the village where the translation was worked on through the years, and where the first church began. A week or so before the event, everybody was busy with the preparations. The men cut tall, slender trees and made a frame over the cement support slab near the high school. Palm leaves were tied over the top of the frame to provide shade for the festivities. Another group of men constructed a platform from boards that were freshly cut by chainsaw. Fabrics in the colors of the Peruvian and Brazilian flags were hung for decoration, as well as a banner that said, God's word arrives to the people of the Purus River. A day or two before the big celebration, boats arrived full of people from several downriver villages. Friends from Lima and Pucallpa, Peru, and also from the U.S. were flown in the day before to a town upriver, where they spent the night. And then in the morning of the 22nd, there were 5 shuttle flights to bring those visitors to San Bernardo. Everyone gathered around to see and greet the people who arrived by plane. When the shuttle flights were done bringing people, everyone gathered on the cement court under the thatch roof, and the program got underway. One of the main translators and pastors, Alano Esteban, led in an opening prayer of thanks to God for the completion of the New Testament. Benito played many of the praise courses he had written, and different groups of girls performed their choreographed dances at various times throughout the program. Cindy Boyer, who along with her husband Jim finished the translation, gave some history of the translation work. She spoke of the first 2 Wycliffe Bible translators, Patsy Adams and Arlene Magnan, and the main Kulina translators who had worked through the years. Then she showed a large set of the booklets of each New Testament book, which have now been printed in 1 volume. Pedro Montes, one of the oldest translators, also spoke about some of his experiences while translating with Arlene. Then Pedro and the director of the Bible League in Peru, Alejandro Silva, had the privilege of opening the boxes and presenting the New Testament to the audience. Alejandro encouraged the people to read God's Word and make it real in their lives. The keynote address was given by Pastor Jose Vega, the host of Radio Maranatha, the Christian radio station in Pucallpa. He spoke from 2 Timothy 2, challenging the Kulina pastors to be diligent to teach the Word of God well. Other visitors gave a few words of congratulations and encouragement, such as the mayor of the province, Domingo Rios. Irma Ticona Pratt, who had been Cindy's partner for 6.5 years, told the people through tears how much she loved them and always prayed for them. Dick Rutter and his family had lived and worked in San Bernardo for 5 years in the 1970s. Jim Roberts had been a JARS pilot who often flew back and forth to San Bernardo. He is now the current director of Wycliffe Translation Programs in North and South America. Jim Nelson, a partner from Virginia, spoke on behalf of the many people who have prayed and given financially for the Kulina translation work. One of the main translators and pastors, Noba Antonio, invited anyone who had memorized verses to come up and recite them. Several pastors from downriver shared a verse or two. The men who had worked as translation helpers were each given a copy of the New Testament in recognition of their many years of working on the translation. Visitors who came to the celebration were also able to present New Testaments to 20 other pastors from villages up and down the river. To conclude the program, the adult women came up to dance in their traditional style as Benito played some of his songs. Soon others joined in, including many of the visitors and the men. The lines wound in and out around the whole meeting area, and everyone was having lots of fun, while many others took photos and videos with their cell phones and cameras. In the afternoon, over 80 people bought their own copy of the New Testament, and we expect many more to sell in the coming months. We are so thankful that this celebration time turned out so well. We know everyone enjoyed the different aspects of it, including the preparations, flights, program, food, fun, and fellowship. We say thank you to everyone who had a part in this event, those who prayed, others who gave special gifts, those who made sacrifices to travel to the village, and others who worked with us to help get things ready.
Well, I have a lot of fond memories of my visits to the Kalina Village. When I was here in July, kind of telling you guys, ooh, in a couple weeks I'm going to be there, I told you some of the funny stories about some of my flights and experiences in the Kalina, among the Kalina. You remember the story that I told about the Kalina passengers who had never been in an airplane before, and we were flying low, and they saw some people on the ground, and they said they were little tiny brown people. And then I told you a story about the engine failure that I had because the translator, one of these first translators, Arlene, she shut the fuel valve off on the plane. And I told you the story of one of the school teachers that we had at Urina Kocha that went out to visit the Kalina people. She's a real tall, heavy woman. And when she visited the Kalinas, the men were just amazed that a woman that big and beautiful could still be single. So, but you know, now that I've been there for this celebration, my fondest memory among the Kalina is always going to be the blessing it was to attend that celebration and see there. And as we flew out that day to the village, it was a lot of fun because I got to sit in the front seat of a plane and actually touch the controls again. But also, I got to fly with one of my friends that I went to Moody Aviation with. He's a pilot there in Brazil, Peru, still. And I got to fly out with him and talk with him. And he actually did let me touch the controls a little bit. Wouldn't let me land it, though. And that was a lot of fun. So it was kind of like, you know, some of the things were the same. And after not being in the village for 16 years, I was surprised as we flew over the village. It looked about the same. Didn't look like anything had changed. And after a while, I started to notice that even though it didn't look on the surface like things had changed, something had really changed. And the first thing I noticed was the Kalinas are painting their faces now. They weren't doing that back then. And what this was is the Kalinas up in Peru had kind of stopped doing that traditional thing. But when all the Kalinas from downriver came up, they still did that. So then the Peru Kalina decided, well, we've got to do it too. So they went back to their traditional face painting as a symbol of their culture. And it's the men and the women that all do it. Now you guys are thinking, oh, that looks so silly. How many of you women put some paint on your lips before you came to church tonight, huh? Painted up your face a little bit. So this is the way they do it. Very interesting. The other thing I noticed, you might have seen it in the video there, was 16 years ago, there was no cell phones in this village. Absolutely not. There was no cell phones. It was very interesting. Everybody almost between the age of about 15 and 30 that was at this event, and there was a lot of them. Most of the crowd was 35 and younger. A lot of little kids. It was encouraging to see so many little kids. But the phones and the video cameras, this is probably the most well-documented New Testament celebration that's ever happened. And then, of course, it was the dancing. I remember back 16 years ago visiting the village. They had a real traditional, a traditional way of dancing, kind of in a conga line. And their music was kind of a chanting way that they would do chanting. And it was kind of this monotone chanting kind of thing. We wouldn't even hardly recognize it as music. But now they've developed a whole new way of dancing and a whole new style of music that they have developed for themselves for worship. And yes, even I got involved in the dancing. So you see this young man over here on the left, and his name was mentioned in the video, I can't remember. But he is a Kalina who went upriver to this larger town so he could attend high school. because there was no high school in his village. So he wanted in this other town, and he was a Christian, so he was going to church there. And it was a Spanish-speaking church, and he learned choruses and things there. He was musical. He started to learn how to play the keyboard, and over time, he kind of picked it up, how to play the keyboard, and he knew these choruses in Spanish and things. So when he returned to his village, somehow he got himself a keyboard, and the Kulina church that was starting to grow quite quickly back 5 or 6 years ago, they started to introduce this Spanish music. Well, Kulinas don't sing very well because they don't really have a traditional way of doing music, but as soon as it was introduced, they really grabbed onto it. And he had this, you heard the music that was playing there? That's the music. And it's kind of this funny blend of jungle beat with salsa and Andean flutes or something. But now this is their music. This is the way they worship God. When they hear this music, they worship God. And they had these Spanish songs, and they decided, well, a lot of these Spanish songs are really just scripture. People are quoting scripture in these songs. Let's write our own. So this young man that was on the piano, he took sections of scripture, put them to music, and now they have their own music that they sing in the worship service. That, and Jim Boyer told me that 4 or 5 years ago that didn't exist. The other thing that was really different was, back when I was flying out there, there was one church in one village, and it had one pastor. And that was it among the Kulinas 16 years ago. And in the video, what did he say? There were 20 pastors from all the villages downriver that had brought a whole entourage of people upriver in their boats so that they could attend this celebration. And 20 pastors were there to receive New Testaments. That was exciting. And then afterwards, they were selling the New Testaments. And they sold 80 of them at the New Testament celebration. And then several of the other boxes went back downriver to be distributed in the villages downriver and the churches downriver. It was especially interesting to see how the Kulina people responded to all of us that were really outsiders. There was probably only about 20 or 25 of us that really could get there from the outside because it was such an isolated place. And I kind of wonder, 16 years since I had been there, and I could remember a few names like Noba Antonio, the translator that I'd flown around a lot and stuff. There was a handful of them. Pedro Montes, the old pastor that was there that gave testimony. I remember a few of them. I didn't know if anybody would remember me. I got out of the plane and everybody remembered me. Now maybe Jim Boyer might have told them I was coming. I don't know. But everybody remembered me. It made me feel special in a really neat way. After all these years, the Kulina people said, "That's our pilot. That's the guy." So that was fun. Well, I would ask you to pray for the Kulina people. You know, there was a celebration. There's a growing church now among the Kulina people, not just in Peru, but also downriver in Brazil. But I would ask that you would pray that this celebration and the distribution of the scripture would be a catalyst that really challenges first the believers in the church to grow in their faith, but then that same group of believers in the church challenge them to reach the other Kulinas. That's our prayer. Well, in closing again, I just want to say thank you to all of you here at the Community Bible Chapel. We couldn't do what we do without your faithful prayers and support. And Paul and I think of you often. Of course, we keep in touch through Sally and my parents. We usually know what's going on. Every time there's a baby born or somebody passes away in Norway, we usually get a report on that. But we do appreciate the fact that you guys pray for us and that you continue to pray for us and for your financial support. Thank you very much.
When I look out at this group, I think some of you remember Jim. Probably from when you were a little one. 14, yeah. Good. Why do the people have to pay for their Bibles?
Royals, which is the Brazilian currency. The exchange rate was about equal, so you could pay either one. why do they have to pay for it?
Why?
If you don't pay for something, you don't value it. So if you were giving them away, people would treat them like they were worth something that was given away. So what they had to pay was like a equivalent of $2, which of course would be a part of the publication, and the balance between making it affordable and giving it value.
Okay, thank you. Great. Tomorrow we have a full day. There'll be some guys here at 7 making breakfast. Our men's breakfast is at 8. And then there's a women's brunch. And then we have dinners in people's home. And tomorrow night, we'll be meeting here at 7 o'clock. Tonight we met at 6:30. Tomorrow night from 7 to 8. 7 to 8, 1 hour. And Daryl Kaufman, who works with Wycliffe, particularly in the Middle East, is going to be here. Bill Sundstrom. Oh, that's right. Bill Sundstrom's tomorrow night. Oh, I'm glad somebody knows what's going on.
We'll just see who gets up and starts.
Yeah.
Somebody will be up there. It'll be good, whoever it is.
All right. Good. Yes, Sally. Yeah. Jim and Paul will be having ministry with the children tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, 7 to 8. Okay? I'm going to ask Kim and Rachel's son if you would like to close in prayer, and particularly pray for Tom and Jim's ministry. Can you do that? Oh, come on up here, and we can all see your handsome face. And...
It's only the beard.
All right. Jeff.
Tom and... Lord, thank you so much for letting us be here tonight. Thank you so much for allowing Norway to put out so many missionaries, Lord. You have blessed this town, and through that, you have blessed the world with through the gospel. Thank you again, Lord, for being our God. Please bless Tom and Jim in their ministries. Lord, please provide what is needed. Please allow them to be effective. And Lord, please let this church and all the other people who came here from other churches, let them be in prayer for these people and financial support. Again, thank you for what you have done. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.